SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, coming up on 10 minutes in on kind of fun and I would say rambunctious morning. And I have to apologize to Mark Cassie, who was kind of waiting like a half an hour ago. And I said that, you know, Steve Asmussen put us behind, which is a little unusual. I mean, usually, we rip through the topics with Steve, but this was more of a free form, and he was in a good mood, but he was in the car. I'm guessing he was driving to, this time of year, maybe fairgrounds. I don't know. Where would you be driving, Mark, if you had left Louisville today?
Oh, he's probably, he's either going Remington. To New Orleans or home in Texas, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you can get Steve. If you get Steve going, he's a character now.
You know who he's great with too is with Dale Romans when the two of them are going back.
If I'm ever feeling bad or for myself or things aren't going great, I just go see Steve and he makes me feel better instantly because he has a lot of answers to a lot of the questions us trainers ask each other.
that's a nice resource actually. Everybody on the racetrack, actually, and some people would be surprised at who some of those go-to horsemen and women are around the racetracks. The public would be, you know?
Yeah, I think if you're going to, you know, for me, you know, if you're going to go and talk to somebody, you'd like talking to, I have a lot of conversations with Bob Baffert, and I just... Hey, if you're going to talk to somebody about things, it's kind of nice to talk to people that, you know, you have the same thoughts and maybe the same needs and same ideas. So it's kind of sometimes you throw things around.
Well, if you're feeling down and any frustrations, all you got to do is trot out Got Stormy.
That's true. She is something special. I mean, she amazes me.
It's been a remarkable campaign. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion, Mark. It already started. I doubt she had come back from the test barn and the debate was already rolling as to what it means. And it really does feel like, you know, I tweeted that, you know, she absolutely pulls back even with Uni in the discussion, and it's going to come down to the two of them. And, you know, there's people who think that any horse that wins a Breeders' Cup is a champ. That's not fair. That's not taking
no, that's
a
not
season.
Fair at all.
No.
I mean, if you look at their campaigns, I mean, Uni ran four times, you know, Got Stormy ran eight times. And did it at six different racetracks. And the worst she ever got beat was a length and a half. On the matchup, the equal matchup, the two of them, I mean, they both have a victory. And they have the victories by about the same margin, you know. So I don't know. I think so much is said anymore about we don't run our horses, we don't do this and that. You know, maybe the one that has went out and ran more should be rewarded. And, you know, as well as, you know, one thing about Gary, and he never shies away from anything. So, I mean, to me, obviously, I have a biased opinion, but Got Stormy, it's a shame there can't be two winners, but I doubt that'll happen. So we'll see.
we'll talk the specifics, and I guess we could fold them in as part of the question I'm going to ask you. But it takes a certain kind of horse to, you know, be put on the plane and put in the van and go to these different venues. I mean, horses are generally reliant on a routine and an environment and the stability of both. And, you know, to have a horse that, you know, is being moved around like this and handled by different people and, you know, facing different racetrack circumstances and then going down to Ocala to, you know, for freshening, you know, talk about the makeup and what's involved in that part of it.
Well, not only that, Steve, she's ran six triple-digit buyer numbers, her last six starts.
Yep.
Which is amazing. So she started her, I'll give you, and I may miss a spot here, but we'll start the beginning of the year. She was in Ocala. We sent her down to Nick Tomlinson, our assistant down in South Florida. I think he had her about 10 days, and she won really impressively. She then came back to Ocala and got ready, and we sent her to Keeneland to our Kentucky division led by David Carroll, where she was third in the Jenny Wiley, and then she would have stayed with David for the distaff. And then she went to our New York division led by Jamie Begg. And she won the Della Rose and then the four-star Dave. By the way, you know, she didn't just break the track record. She destroyed the track record in four-star Dave. She did something that no filly's ever done. No filly's ever won the four-star Dave. And again, she didn't just win it. She destroyed them. Yeah, ran 109 buyer. She then went to Woodbine to David Adams, our main guy there, and obviously she ran a great race in the Woodbine Mile. You know, Woodbine on a good day, that if you have a miler, Woodbine's a tough mile because it's 3/8 of a mile stretch, and there's no doubt, you know, they labeled it good, the turf, but it wasn't to her liking, but she still, you know, she ran her butt off. So then she goes from Woodbine to David Carroll again in Kentucky. And he gets her ready, sends her out. She runs in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Then she flies to South Florida, vans up to Ocala, and spends 3 weeks there in Ocala with Mitch Downs at our training center. Then at the last minute, they change the flight. She was supposed to fly out of Florida, but about 4 days before that, they called me and said, look, we're not flying out of Florida. We're flying out of Kentucky. I said, okay. So then we had to van her back to Kentucky to David Carroll. He had her for 1 day and put her on a plane. And she went to California. So she is quite remarkable. I was nervous yesterday. I was nervous because, I mean, there's not too many horses that could do what she just did. You know, to not only the racing, but all the travel. And she was just a sweetheart. I was hugging and kissing her in the paddock, and she was just looking at me. And in my heart, I was like, I hope this is going to be okay, that she's just not wore out and tired, and she just goes out and does what she does best, win.
Tyler Gaffleone has been with her, you know, even before this year, but other than Santana riding her for the four-star Dave win, and that was we've discussed that at the time, but it's obvious that he's got real confidence in when to move with her. When she struck the front, I mean, I know some people, Mark, are saying, well, you know, Daddy is a legend with a cleaner trip, and if she didn't have to, you know, et cetera.
Daddy's a legend, ran 16 feet shorter than we did, so that's two lengths. So, And I'm not so sure her getting away bad maybe didn't help her. There wasn't a whole lot. You know, there was, she finished strong, so I don't want to even hear that. We were hung wide. You know, Tyler came back and said, hey, I had to make a move a little earlier than I wanted to. And he did have to swing out and do that. So I don't, yeah, that doesn't hold any. That doesn't hold anything. Yeah, I just, we're not going to worry about that one.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Should have, could have, would have.
How quickly after Breeders' Cup did you and Gary say, you know, we should go, we should at least consider the matriarch, and, you know, how aggressive was that decision?
Well, you know, we had talked about it even before the Breeders' Cup. We said, you know, talked and said, if we had won the Breeders' Cup, we wouldn't have come back out. We would have sat there. But look, we want to be champion, and we think she deserves to be champion. So, you know, as soon as the race was over, we were talking about it. All that, always know. And if you want to talk about eclipse, horses or people or eclipse, or horses deserve to be win the eclipse, there's no one that should deserve to win it more than Gary Barber. I mean, here's a guy that is just, if you know, if you can find, I'd like you to tell me somebody you think that has loves horse racing more than Gary Barber, and has done more really for horse racing than Gary Barber. And he is just a true sportsman. I mean, he's had a Breeders' Cup winner this year. He's got God Stormy, multiple grade one winner. He won a classic. I want God Stormy to be a champion, but it's also important. I want Gary Barber to win the Eclipse for best leading owner.
No, and I will not argue. And I've included Gary. I think the last couple of years, you know, the name that's also on that list that has been denied and really ignored is Seth Klarman.
That's true. And you know what? He's had a tremendous year as well.
Yeah, it's tight.
But, again, obviously he's got bricks and mortar, him and Mr. Lawrence. But when you go heads up, I think Gary's won more money. He's won more stakes. He's won more graded stakes. Well, maybe not more. It depends if you want to go. I think Gary right now is close to just on his own winning something like $6 million in purses. But if you go and add his partnerships,
right,
which if you want to do that for Klarovich, you know if you want to add
absolutely,
well, then you're talking, you know, Gary's probably somewhere around $10 million. So both of them would be deserving winners, but I mean, not too many guys can win a Breeders' Cup and a Classic in the same year.
No, there's a handful of elite. And you actually trained for several of them, because we could fold in Charlotte Weber and we could fold in the Oxleys and you know, the real frontline old guard style owners that just support the game thick and thin and don't grouse when things don't go their way. I mean, that's a quality that, you know, that counts for something as well.
You know, we are fortunate, and the thing that is so nice, you bring up the Oxleys, you bring up Mrs. Weber, you bring up Gary Barber. Not only you know, are they our clients, but they're our friends. And you're not going to find a more wonderful man than Gary Barber. Just absolute class. And the same can be said for, you know, Mrs. Weber and the Oxleys. So it's important. While we're on that subject, one thing that just real quick, I'm going to go off of it just a little bit. How people like the Oxleys and Mrs. Weber, how they're not in the Hall of Fame already. They've done so much for racing. It's something, you know, a lot's been said over the last couple of years about me And, you know, I've been up for nomination for the Hall of Fame, and that's important to me. But I think they're much more deserving than I am.
Well, and that category, that whole builders, the builders concept, absolutely is an area that, you know, that we don't, you know, we don't.
And you know why? Because they're behind the scenes doing so much for the Hall of Fame, you know, getting money, and they don't want to put themselves in that to promote themselves. So they end up getting lost in the shuffle, and that's not right. It's not right. How Jack Oxley and Charlotte Weber aren't in the Hall of Fame is beyond me. And the guy I just mentioned, he's not far behind. Gary Barber, I mean, yeah. I'm sure he will be someday too. So anyway, that's something that's been on my mind. I wanted to give it up.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. And frankly, you know, this serves into a, melds into a little bit of a pet peeve. I mean, honor these people while they're, you know, on the right side of the tundra.
Exactly.
Somebody
asked me, said, is it frustrating you're not in the Hall of Fame? I said, well, I would like to get in there while I'm still alive.
Exactly.
Hopefully that's going to be a while. But that is important. It
figures in.
Mrs. Weber, 50 years.
Yeah.
And Jack Oxley, not far behind.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's wrong?
Okay.
What's wrong? There's something wrong with all that.
Well, this has been a magical year, and I will fold in one other name in here because I've known him. I've known Brian Burns for a long time, going back to Smooth Air. But of course, Got Stormy, bred by Burns and his Mountjoy stable with the McLeans, and she's going to prove to be one of the all-time greatest bargains in bloodstock history.
Well, she is special. She is extremely special, and I guess you saw, and I'm sure you're not surprised, but Gary's already come out and said we're gonna do it again next year. She's gonna run again as a 5-year-old, which is exciting for the Cassie team.
Well, and it's been a good couple of days for the game on that front. Al Stahl too, and the Bensons going ahead with Tom's the Tot.
Exactly, you know, and that's. We need our stars. We need our stars.
Well, Got Stormy has been a favorite of mine all year, and this exploit, adding a matriarch victory to the 4-star Dave and the 2 placements in the Woodbine Mile and the Breeders' Cup Mile. She hasn't been off the board in 8 starts this year. We should fold that in, and
she also ran. If you want, if buyer numbers mean anything to you, she ran the biggest buyer number. She ran 109 buyer when she won the 4-star Dave. So she also sports the highest buyer number of the 2 fillies this year.
Well, it's going to be an intense debate now through the end of the year, and. You know, the fact that she has competed from March 7th until December 1st goes a long way in this discussion, I think.
I hope so. I hope that just, you know, that they look at all the factors. And as you said at the beginning, sometimes it's just, well, if you win the Breeders' Cup. But I don't know that that's a fair way to do it.
I think it's part. It's a big race. It obviously counts for a certain percentage of considerations, but yeah, there's a lot more that should go into, you know, the total evaluation. Same thing, Mark, could be said. Let's fold in another result or two from the last few days. And let's go to Saturday. I told you Steve Asmussen was with us. Enforceable had to deal with the inside. And that effort may, you know, I know people are going to be, you know, kind of quizzical about everything that went on in this spot between Tis the Law being bottled up for close to a mile. But Enforceable may have run a sneaky, useful race in here.
Funny you should say that, because if you remember, I mean, you and I have talked many, many times on air and stuff, and I told you about a little horse that ran in the Tampa Bay Derby. And I said, this horse ran sneakingly well. People aren't going to give him enough credit, but he's a good horse. And you watch, and I'm going to say the same about Enforceable. Enforceable is a horse who's got a huge pedigree, and he's getting better and better. He's just, it's taken him a long time to get it all together. Not only did he have to deal with the inside trip, but when he started running towards the top of the lane, he kind of lost momentum again. Flo called me right after the race because I was in California, and he said, sorry, boss. He said, I'm not sure I would have won, but if I hadn't lost my momentum at the top of the lane, it would have been very close. So, yeah. And the horse I was talking about previously was Sir Winston. They remind me a lot of each other.
Well, the season and the opportunities, how quickly will you and Jack make a decision about you know, where he winters?
Well, we already did that. He's on a van currently to New Orleans. New Orleans has been very good to us in the last few years, you know, with War of Will. And then, of course, the year before with Wonder Godot. I find it a great place to get our Derby and Oaks prospects ready. So I came away feeling extremely good Saturday with his race. And I think if we can build upon that, now we got to just, because I know if there's a horse there that wants to go a mile and a quarter, it's him. So we just got to get him there. Again, similar to what I said with Sir Winston.
Well, and, you know, Tappet, you mentioned the pedigree. He's out of the very nice multiple stake winning Just Whistle Dixie. Was a serious purchase, 700.
Well, he's a full brother Mohamian, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. The Clear Sky, the Clary team, and 775,000. I was going to say 50.
So. Yeah, I think we bought him. I think he was. I'm not sure. I thought he was an RNA, and we.
Oh, that's right. He did. That's right. Did you buy him? You bought him.
Yeah. It's interesting because he's a horse I always liked. We liked him down at our training center in the early on, and I ran him, and I know everybody probably thought it was crazy because it was sprinting, but. I find, especially with the Tappets, the more you run them, the better they get.
Sure.
And I like run. You know that. I like running them. And I think later down the road, because when you run in these big races, you're not, you know, as the favorite saw on Saturday, it's not always going to be a clean trip. And the quicker and the better you learn to deal with those things makes you a better horse down the road. And to me, That's the advantage of running. Sometimes it doesn't make your win percentage look as good as you'd like, but in the end, you know, my job is not to make myself look good. My job is to try to do the best for my owners, and that means, you know, winning the big races. I'm very proud. I mean, we won 40 stakes this year. Most people probably don't know, but I think we won something like 9 or 10 stakes in New York. And I think maybe 5 or 6 grade ones. So I'm proud of our year.
And it's not over.
No, it's not over. It's winding down. Usually at this time of year, we're back in Ocala, starting to take it easy. And I said to my wife, I said, oh, we got to make one more little trip to California. And then I was very honored and proud to They called and asked me if I would come accept the award. We won the Turf Stardom Award. So we're out west for another week. We're going to we're on a little vacation now, and then we're going to Arizona.
Well, I will
so
see you.
To accept the award next Tuesday. So that's proud. I'm proud of that, and I think my dad would be proud of that. To me, winning races is a good thing, and we try hard, but it's more important for people to, you know, that I'm a good person, and that so that award's very special to me.
Well, we'll be there for that, and that's the Turf Publicists, big sport of turfdom, which has a long, long history. So I will be on hand for that luncheon, and
I'll see you there.
Part of that, absolutely. Let me get a couple of other licks in here before we send you out into the day, and I want to ask about a Churchill Maiden winner going back to last week. That race driver.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. You know, I thought he ran well. I don't know how much. I think the slop maybe moved him up a little bit. To me, seems like a useful horse, but he's going to have to step up his game. He's already in New Orleans as well. Probably see him come back somewhere in a one other than.
He's a distorted humor, and that was at a mile and a 16th. I mean, just, you know, winning at a distance, and he won by, you know, some open length. So I thought it was worth noting. Let's talk about a couple of these rescheduled, at least the one rescheduled race, and Old Chestnut, part of that Central Park, and, you know, we're getting hit right now in New York with weather, and the Central Park, I thought, looked like a terrific race. It pretty much stayed together, and I think you actually, I can't remember, I threw out the old PPs. Did you? I think you benefited from the redraw.
Can't remember. I thought we were inside. I think I was happy.
Maybe you
were.
Maybe
inside.
You were. All right.
Yeah, we were good. You know, I don't know. He showed a little different, a new dimension his last start where he came with a run. And I said, you know what, I like sometimes to find out sooner than later what a horse wants to do. So we're going to give him a try around two turns. I don't know that he's going to like it, but we're going to find out. And I think we got another good post, so that was good.
You're going to leave from the four. You get Johnny, and, you know, I don't remember. When did Mrs. Weber buy Pool Land?
Oh, she bought her some time ago. She bought her some time ago.
Interesting.
Because I think she bought her... Well, Melnick, when Melnick dispersed Pool Lands.
Okay, Melnick. Okay.
So I've trained a lot of Pool Lands. I trained Pool Lands for Melnick and then, of course, now for Mrs. Weber. So,
oh, how funny. Yeah. I always liked Pool Land, and I never really...
I'm going to give you two horses to me that I think you should keep your eye on.
Yeah.
I thought when you asked me about a maiden winner, I thought Lynn's Map was impressive.
Yes, absolutely. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but the horse that I was really impressed with as well is a horse we just got from Europe and named Natural Power. He's a horse that belongs to Gary. Made his first, he ran in a one other than at Churchill on the grass and had just an extremely tough trip and was second. And I think he's a horse that has a real bright future for us as well.
How soon will we see Gulfstream or?
No, he's at the fairgrounds. You're not going to believe this, but we're flirting. You know, he's I think he's from Ireland. He's got all grass breed, but you know where this is going.
Oh boy, yeah.
We're gonna. We'll probably try him on the dirt one time.
He
trained extremely well on the dirt, so we've had pretty good luck doing that in the past.
Everyone is worth, you know, is worth trying. And you're only, you know, they're only three once, and you only get a certain amount of chances, so there's never any harm. You know, since and on that topic too, how you doing with Sir Winston since we spoke last? He worked that one day, I think, and now is he's been working a string of works.
He worked yesterday, worked extremely well. He's on his way to the fairgrounds, and if all goes as planned, he's going to make his first start back from the Belmont. He's going to run in the wood chopper at the end of the year on the grass. He's going to make his stir. He's going to come back and run on the grass.
Now you had suggested that when we because it's funny because when we talked a month ago or so, it was literally I think that morning he had worked. In fact, so it's now a month later and doing nicely. Bring everybody up to speed on the War of Will. You know, Mark, he looked so good coming into Breeders' Cup. He looked so comfortable over the racetrack and thought that, you know, he might be clever come the Classic.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I mean, it ended up being such a funny racetrack. I mean, the horses were, look at Owendale. He ran last, got beat, 30 lengths or something?
Yeah, and then came back
and he came back and ran second the other day. Yep. So, I don't know. Right now we're giving him a rest. We're going to probably come back and try to concentrate at about a mile with him. And probably you'll see him, probably his first start back this year will be on the grass. So we'll see. I think that War Will, he handles dirt, but it has to be a certain type of dirt. If it get and it's interesting, you know, that he handled Churchill Down so well. I've said for the last 25 years, any horses that have a little turf tendency, like Churchill Down, and I think Fairgrounds is a lot like Churchill as well. So I think the key with him is he only is going to like certain type of dirt tracks. If it gets a little deep and tiring, he doesn't like that, like Belmont. The old Santa Anita, he probably would have bounced over, obviously, with everything going on. The track was a little different for the Breeders' Cup, and he's not the only horse that struggled. There were many.
Well, we're looking forward to getting them all back, and it seems like almost all the stable stars are going to reassemble for next year. I'm going to ask you one last one before we go and circle right back to Gary and the Quality Road Filly in the Teppan, and I'm sure you would love to win the Teppan this week, and it sure feels like Quality Heat has moved forward with every start.
Yeah, it would be nice to win the Teppan, I have to admit. You know, I don't know. I haven't really handicapped the race that much yet. Just kind of glanced over it. I think she's a nice horse, and I agree with you. She's getting better. We're going to run her here, and then she'll get a break and see what happens for next year. She's a nice horse. She still has to prove that she can compete at the top level, but she's getting better. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, Mark, as always, informative, and I appreciate, you know, all the responses and all the various topics. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
Go Gary Barber.
With Gary Barber and God Stormy, the engine on the train. No doubt about it. And
bye. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Cassie, and you can follow Mark, of course, on Twitter, Mark E. Cassie on Twitter. And I'd forgotten that he was getting the big Sport of Turfdom award. We're going to stay here, and we've got about 20 minutes to fill out, and it's been really a fun morning, and tons more, of course, tomorrow, and as the week unfolds with all the, you know, with all the action. Bob Hess is going to join us, though, because one of the subplots, certainly from the whole weekend, was some former claimers, reformed claimers, like they say, succeeding. And the win in the red carpet by Zuzana really made a lot of people smile. And a lot of that had to do with some of the partners. It was a good week. And holiday period for Bob Hess in general. A bunch of other wins, too, we can talk about. But Zuzana and the red carpet, the first order of business. Bob, congratulations. There we go. Bob. Casey checking. Did we lose him? Casey's going to tell me what happened here. Okay, Casey's going to pick up on him and say, like, buys me a second to get the get the chart out. There it is, right there. All right, beautiful. this was the mile and 3/8, and Zuzana nabbed last September at Los Al for 8,000, and then very slowly and steadily, just, you know, slight improvement, and then you take a chance, you take a swing. Why not? And you know, starter allowance win, 25 claiming win, competitive in allowance company. And the key to this, obviously, is the mile and 3/8. And there's Bob Hess. Bob, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be with you today.
It's great to catch up. And I'm just talking about, you know, what transpired here. $8,000 last September, took the winter off, came back at Golden Gate, and not overly ambitious, started her back out at the same level. And then, you know, you obviously, you know, were happy with what you saw and started to face better competition. Talk about what transpired here.
Well, we actually claimed her as a three-year-old at Belmont. Gary Contessa helped us out with her and got her to Del Mar and ran her in a 40, and they had the ship a win, and we won the race and lost her. I liked her at the time, didn't really want to lose her, but, you know, we got a run to win. So kept her on the radar, kind of watched her. She won right back for 50 and then fell on harder times. And, you know, fillies, I don't need to tell you, but fillies are tough. They're the greatest, but when they're not right, they really don't run. But when they're right, they give you everything they have. So we watched her. Put a little group together led by Kurt Hoover and claimed her and gave her a bunch of time, let her fill back out, did a little tie-back throat surgery on her. I think that's probably what helped her the most. And she's gone from strength to strength. I really actually was a little hesitant to run in this race because I felt like I'd run her in spots where she couldn't win, and she's been so good to us that I wanted to put her where she could win. But we thought we might be able to run third and pick up some graded black type as a mare. You know, that means a lot. So we took a shot, but it did work out beautifully.
There's a big part of the equation here is the distance, right? I mean, the mile and 3/8 is the great unknown. And, you know, she had never, how far had she ever gone? A mile and an eighth, I think.
If that. And you're 100% right. My dad's always said there's almost an invisible wall, like a mile and 3/16, where they can get the mile and eighth, but then that's it. You see so many horses come into the Derby that are stellar at a mile and eighth, and you can't find them with a search warrant at a mile and a quarter, let alone a mile and 3/8.
And in this occasion, I mean, what happens is, you know, there's a lot of factors, but, you know, the pace scenario is different, and, you know, this kind of fits into that whole scenario where front runners going, I just had Mark Cassie and the filly I'm going to reference, Catch a Glimpse, when she was winning at a mile, everybody said, well, she won't be able to win at a mile and a 16th or beyond. Well, then she did, and then a mile and an eighth, and then she won the Belmont Oaks. Because when they're going slower earlier, they've got more to use late, and it's a whole different style of race.
We being my dad and I, really feel that the mile is probably the toughest race for a speed horse to win, because they're a bat out of hell all the way around there. And,
yeah.
And like you're saying, you know, the slower they go, they got a lot more in reserve. And, you know, a lot of it's physical, a lot of it's mental, and probably mostly is genetic. But this filly, I think, is a true marathon stayer.
And you don't know if you don't try. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, people see horses put in whether it's a stake race or whether it's, you know, even if it's just Monday through Sunday, various conditions. You have to give these horses a chance to show what they can and can't do. And look at this reward.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, it's really the filly is sort of like family does. Kurt and the group are definitely family, the ownership. And it really was gratifying. And it means a lot. It's not really about the money. It's about the moment, the event, and doing something that's good for the people and the horse.
Well, the internet lit up. And part of that is the widespread respect that Kurt Hoover has for horse players. You know, he's had one of the most respected opinions as a handicapper and an analyst that's out there. And then, of course, he's a hell of a basketball coach when it comes to, when it comes to the jockeys facing the kids from Holy Angels.
In 87, just out of school, I came south and was lucky enough to meet Kurt, and we've been buddies ever since. He's probably a year or two older, but he would tell me that he went to Arcadia High, which is barely a half a mile from the track at Santa Anita. And during lunch break, he'd collect all his professors or teachers' money and run over and make a bunch of bets and then come back to class.
Unbelievable. This is a five-year-old mare, and she's going to be six. What, you guys had a chance to kind of flesh out what you're going to do for next year, or anything on the, you know, certainly the Santa Anita season's got plenty of opportunities going long on the grass.
Yes, it does, but what she's eligible to is cheap starters since she ran for that eight in 2018. So she's actually headed east to run at Gulfstream for the winter, and, you know, in between maybe the Very One or the Orchid, which are, you know, their marathon, filly merit turf races.
Sure.
Hopefully we can pick off, you know, starter 16 or whatever going, not as far on the turf, but far enough, I think.
How about that? And, you know, that's an advantage for you, given the string that you've got on the East Coast. And of course, not just the East Coast, you've really had a busy couple of weeks. And it wasn't lost on us, Olympic Village, with that nice try at Mahoning Valley last week.
You know, Ron picked him out that day for Ron Pelucci, that is, picked him out that day for, I think it was 80 up at Saratoga, going 7/8, and the horse galloped that day. We probably, you know, obviously bit off too much and too far when we ran in the Gold Cup in Belmont. He came back and ran well in Churchill, but we really think he's going to be a one-turn horse, and he ran Dynamite, and we're looking forward to having him. He's a Florida bred, so he and Susanna will be two of about 30 that will have a Gulfstream this winter.
Outstanding. You also, I mentioned, you know, earlier that you'd had a terrific weekend, you know, even beyond what transpired with the stake win, and including yesterday with a pair of wins.
It was fun to see Wound Tight win that allowance race. He's been a little hard luck lately, and his owner is a great guy, a great friend, but, you know, not a big-time guy. He bred the horse, and he only owns that mare and two of her babies, so
wow.
That's exciting. And the ownership group with Summer Fire, I think we were in the eighth. That's led by the Hale family, who my dad worked for when he was probably about 24. So we've been together ever since.
How about that? That's a cowbred, a creative cause that has run a lot already. That was the fifth start.
I don't run a lot of 2-year-olds, but He's very durable, very sound, and we're looking forward to running him maybe a little longer and possibly on the grass at Santa Anita. They have a really, really good cowbred program where you can make a bundle of money and not, you know, not be King Kong. You can be a nice horse and make a ton of money.
Well, and there was the Bob Hess double as part of the red carpet on Saturday because riding with Dino won the allowance ahead with Abel Cedillo.
Abel, my dad, I want to say he discovered him at Golden Gate, and Abel's a young 30 and going to have a heck of a career, I think. And he rode Dino beautifully. Dino's actually bred to, I think, be a top turf sprinter. So I'm going to look for, even against Open Company, some sort of turf sprint with him in early January at Santa Anita.
You know, talk about that ownership group, that Paradise Farms. Why do I know that name?
That's Pete Prosha. I met him a good 6-7 years ago when we had a little string in the East. We kept in touch, and the last year, about a year ago, November, we started doing business again, and we've had a good roll. We've won a lot of races. We're probably batting 30-plus percent, and Pete likes to run to win, and he's not afraid to spend a dollar.
Yeah, and you can't ask for more when you're looking for clients.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of, I think, communication and trust, and in anything, I think that's paramount. And Pete and I and the rest of my clients, we all have, I think, a good amount of communication and trust.
Well, certainly when you mentioned Looch, and, you know, you've been along with, obviously, with Anthony Quartarolo, and you know, the Horsemen in Ohio, you know, have been... Mm-hmm. You know, the training group for Ron, who moves the horses around, you know, kind of like, you know, pieces on a chessboard. And, you know, you've been with Ron as long as anybody.
Ron is obviously a godsend, great for the game, great, a fun guy. I hate to say it, but he takes bad news better than anyone because it's a tough game, but he's patient, and look what he did with Heaven Has My Nikki. He freshened her up. She won the vagrancy. We freshened her up after that. She came up with a case of the thumps, which basically was the weather that messed her up in the Breeders' Cup. But we have her running on the 14th at Gulfstream and probably the 6-furlong stake there. But Ron's awesome, and you're right. He moves his horse around, but if the owner doesn't stay in the game, then we're all gone. So we need to do what's right for his program.
How seriously did you take that threat earlier in the year when Ron said I'm quitting the game?
I love him, and it made me nervous, but but the next day he claimed one for 80 at Del Mar, so and he called me. I didn't call him.
Marty McGee wrote that piece, and I texted Marty. I said, Marty, what are you doing? I said, this is leaving the game. He's going to leave the game for 8 minutes until the next race at Thistledown. That's how long he left the game.
The horse racing is so unique because it truly is, I believe in life, the most emotional, passionate dollar you'll ever spend. Whether you're betting or owning them, and that's what I love about Ron, his passion.
Give us a glance at what lies ahead this week. Only at Gulfstream, and the entries, they'll be taking entries tomorrow for La Salle opening?
I'm light at La Salle. I should have a fair amount of action at Gulfstream this month. Like I said, Nikki on the 14th. We run one or two for Paradise in the Claiming Crown. We kind of like Just Kidding quite a bit. He probably will, I don't know, he might go in the two-turn mile and eighth race they have, or he could go in the 7-furlong starter 16, but he should be live on Saturday, Just Kidding.
I see Dancy coming up. That's got to be Wednesday, right?
Dancy's in. Yeah, we'll give it a shot with her. I'm not sure about the turf for her, but I trained her sire, the Wildcat, and he won the only time I ran him on the turf. Oh, we're running Friday a horse for a guy we all know, Roddy Valeni, a horse we claim Tap and Honor. He's in a starter at Gulfstream, and he should be really tough in there as well.
you know, the you know what? You should try to get some owners who bet.
Like I said, they love to have fun. That's the name of the game.
Roddy, one of the great characters. What's the over under on trips for crab claws over to Billy's? Do you think for this winter?
He's been trying to get me to come up to the place he loves, Runway 44 or something like that.
Absolutely.
Up in Fort Lauderdale. I've never
Anthony,
been.
Anthony, so you've never been to Runway 84.
84. There you go. No, I haven't, and I heard it's too much fun, and I got to get up early. But one of these days, I'll get up there.
Well, that's a perfect. Yeah, Roddy, you go in there and hold court. You can go for Meatball Mondays. The lasagna is tremendous. You know, that's the same Anthony as the coal-fired pizza.
Exactly.
And that's where it started. It started in the bar. They were doing them in the bar and had the idea. When I first got down to the show on 17th Street Causeway is where we were. And the first location was right there on Federal. And I saw people lined up out the door. This is right when they started. And I said to my mother, I said, "Ma, this Anthony's cold pizza." And she said, "I don't know it." And so I took her, and we realized they were onto something.
But well, I'm looking forward to it this winter, for sure.
Well, you'll love Runway. Runway is the flagship location. Bob, this was fun. And it was way too long between drinks. I appreciate the visit.
No, thanks for reaching out, and let's shake hands on a Gulfstream this winter.
Without fail. Bob Hess, everybody, and he's not a big Twitterer, but you can follow him on the Twitter machine, because I know I do, and it's Bob Hess Jr., easy to follow. I don't know how we're going to follow up this crazy fun 3 hours today. Maybe Casey on the board was a big part of it. That puts the Spurs to me. I want to thank Bob Hess and Mark Cassie, Steve Asmussen, with his, how often can you say this, frolic-filled visit, and Lil Al Stahl, plus Johnny D. All right, out to the snow to help my wife. Although, actually, she's done all the work. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. Casey will have the show on the website late. He's heading out for a doctor's appointment, so 3 o'clock or so, 4 o'clock, if you want to listen to the archive. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Porschbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate